Psalm 119 and verse 49 begins, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant and gracious and manifold blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And let us pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, who is the living Word, alive forevermore, who's given his life, a ransom for many, who poured out his blood for the forgiveness of sins, and who gave his poured out his soul and received your wrath, that the wrath of God may not abide upon us, and that you have ordained your elect unto salvation and not unto wrath. And for that we are tremendously grateful. But Lord, as our living word is ascended unto the right hand, and he is king over all, we thank you, Father, for your spirit and also for your written word that illuminates the blessedness of the truth of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as we're in Psalm 119 and some of our readings this week, over the next week or two, we thank you, Father, and pray that you'll be glorified and that we'll be edified because of the blessedness of the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119 was always a threatening, a kind of an overwhelming psalm for me, because it's all about the Word of God, and it's such a huge chapter. And what do you do with it if you're going to come to it, especially as a preacher that is going to expositionally preach through the Psalms? But as I've grown nearer the Lord, and as I've fallen in love with Him and fallen in love with His Word has become that much dearer. And since we haven't had anything in Psalm, I just want to let you know, as you do know, but to remind you, as it does say right here in verse 49, the first word is remember. Remember, and to remind you that Psalm 119 is predominantly about the Word of God, and that it is the longest chapter in the Bible, that should be significant as to the importance of the Word of God in our lives, the centrality, almost approximately within the middle of the pages. If you just take the volume of the pages of a Bible and open them up, Psalm 119 is like right in the center. And so that should be significant as well. And Psalm 119 is a psalm that is divided up, as you know. It's divided up into the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet from Aleph to Tav. And it has eight verses within each letter of the alphabet. And each verse in Hebrew would start off with the beginning letter. The first eight verses would be, every word that began the verse began with the letter Aleph in Hebrew. This one begins with Zayin. And many of your Bibles are parsed that way, where you can see the Hebrew letter. So we have eight verses, and it begins with remember. This is a devotional word, if you want to call it that. We're going to have a devotional word and find in the devotion application for the word. So we have a devotional word with application for the word, and the first thing we are struck with is in verse 49, remember. Remembrance brings us hope. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Immediately I thought of Zechariah, whose name means, it's the root of remember. Yah remembers. Zachar, which means remember in Hebrew. Zechariah, Yah, which is the name of God. So the Lord remembers, and the Lord remembered his word, his prayer, Zechariah's prayer, and he Not that he was forgetful or anything, but it's a term that expresses that he's going to do something. And he did something with Zechariah's life. He desired a son, and God remembered and appeared before him, but Zechariah didn't remember. And when God, and when the angel Gabriel appears before him, Zechariah forgot and doubted that this was the word of the Lord. And as you know the story in Luke chapter 1, and Zechariah couldn't speak, and he couldn't hear either. Couldn't speak or hear until John was born. So 9 months he's using sign language and writing things down. But God's word, when fulfilled, brings remembrance, the reality of our hope. And we see this importance of the word as it moves on, and we'll move on a little bit more quickly now. In verse 50, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." God's word makes us alive. It makes us alive, and because it makes us alive, it gives us comfort when we are afflicted. When we're down and out, afflictions tend to bring us even further down. But when we're alive and when we're sensitive to the things of God, that sensitivity doesn't carry over onto afflictions or pain. In fact, those things are usually rather covered. Like love covers a multitude of sins, the comfort of God's word covers a multitude of pain. Verse 51, the proud, it says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. God's word strengthens my faith, and therefore it makes me steadfast. I shall not be moved, as the psalm says. And so, therefore, my faith can be strengthened, as it was we saw in Romans 4, that our faith becomes strengthened through testing and trials. And the word is that which is powerful to do such a thing and cause us not to decline, not to shrink back from the things that are in God's word. In verse 52, it says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. God's word comforts me in the midst of adversity because his perfect justice removes anxiety from my shoulders because I recognize, you recognize, we recognize that as he is a just God, that his justice is perfect and that he will see things through in its perfection. That things won't go as they are going in injustice in a world that is full of iniquity and corruption in equity. There's the justice of God is a great hope and a great comfort, and we can take comfort in that as we see it in God's word. He is faithful. Verse 53, it says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. When we are in God's word and steadfast by the grace of God and the power of God to keep us in God's word alerts us to the things that we see that oppose God's word. All around us, the wickedness and the evil that does not line up with the nature and character of Jesus Christ, that does not reflect that which is in the Bible, it brings us concern. We have, the expression here is horror. Horror hath taken hold of me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. We know that it, because of the word, we have entered in by the grace of God and through his power in the word, as the Holy Spirit brings it into illumination, that we enter into that fellowship with God, that his cares become our cares. And when he's grieved, the horror, because I can't contain it. God wasn't taken by surprise, and so he's steadfast, and therefore I, again, through his word, I lean upon his comfort. But when we see those things, we have a great and genuine concern. We're not indifferent about the evil and the wickedness that is around us. We desire to be used of God if necessary, and always praying for God that he will bring forth that which is goodness from him. In verse 54, it says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. God's word promotes praise for Jehovah God. And it brings me ever closer to true spiritual worship. Nearer to that which is true because we're in the word of truth. And then as we are promoted and provoked and prompted to praise God because of that which we see in his word and walk according to his word, then
we can lift up praise and praise that is in accordance with the truth of His Word. There is a rejoicing that comes forth from His truth, and the more that we, the closer that we move to God because of His Word, the more praise will come forth by His Word and praise in His Word. In verse 55 it says, I have remembered Thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept Thy law. The man of God, the woman of God, the child of God that is in God's Word, is by God's grace and by the power of God in the Scriptures, will know an intimacy with God, a special intimacy in the night hours, that you'll be awakened because you're in the Word. There'll be something that when everybody else is asleep, that the Lord will wake you. Or maybe not even wake you, but in your dream, that He'll come to us even in our sleep. Is one translation of Psalm 127. He giveth to His beloved sleep. And that His Word is there so that there's an intimacy when no one else is around, when everyone else is asleep. And in the second part of that, we're in verse 55, it says, that as that intimacy of fellowship, because of God's Word, He brings His presence to us when no one else is around so we can have something special with Him. I have kept Thy law. The word kept there is the Hebrew root word shmor, shamar. It's the same word that's used of protection. If you remember that in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam fell, that God placed the angel with a flaming sword of fire in the way of the tree of life, that they would not in that fallen condition go to that tree. So there was a protection there. But the word also carries with it in Hebrew is a possession. Protection as in, this is mine as a dear and precious possession, that I protect it to keep it from falling away. And so the law of God is not just something that brings us to a place of obedience. It brings us a blessedness of its reality, that this is a possession and a blessing from God. This is that which He has given me to enjoy Him with. And so I don't want to part with His Word. And the hardest things of His Word, I don't want to let go either. Because there will be that day when it may be revealed to me. And if I have let a portion of God's Word go, I have missed an opportunity to bless my God and to draw nearer to Him, even in the hardest sections of His Word. So I keep His law. It's a revelation of the blessedness of His truth. And then in verse 56 it says, This I had because I kept Thy precepts. God's Word brings the blessed revelation of the incredible power of His Word. I want to read that again. It says, This I had after going through all this. And He says, remember the word unto Thy servant, Lord. It's our calling out to, Lord, You won't forget. It's just a reminder to me that I want to remember Your word. And He brings us through all these blessings of what the word does. And then we come to this I had because I kept Thy precepts. A greater understanding through the experience of the word moving through us, and also the knowledge doctrinally, what we're learning by the word. But as we grow in grace and are strengthened in faith, there is this reality that a greater revelation of the blessedness of the power of God's Word by the power of the Spirit of Christ and by God's grace to illuminate that Word even further to our understanding and even more alive in our devotions and even more clear for our application. The power of God's Word brings us to desire to read God's Word even more. It brings the power that is within God's Word by God's Spirit brings us a hunger to understand and a desire to understand even more. And in the places we don't understand, to trust in faith that God is true. And this power is there when we're in God's Word for a passion for obedience to please Him. Lord, I don't have the capacity to fulfill this at any time in the way that is honoring unto Thee. Let me fulfill it anyway by Your power and by Your grace and receive it as the best that I can do because You're worthy of so much more. This is the power of the Word of God. And in forsaking it, because we do often, we need to remember as often in this section, to remember God's Word and then be diligent to pray that God keep us by His grace in the Word, because if we don't, we just run backwards and we fail and we fall. And we find that by forsaking God's Word, the things that will happen will be an undoing of that which the blessing of God's Word has brought. In verse 55, where it says that I have remembered Thy name, O Lord, in Thy night, and have kept Thy law, that intimate fellowship soon becomes indifference. And so we have less and less of those times with the Lord, and pretty soon in our waking hours it becomes minimalized. In verse 54, where it says, Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage, now our worship turns to worry and our praise becomes complaint. The Word, not being in the Word, will remove those things from us and be replaced with something that is more worldly or more of the flesh. As verse 52 we see, I remember Thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. What was once perfect justice to our ears has become perverted justice, and we become callous to those things. In verse 51 it says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from Thy law. We find that our steadfast faith has become unstable footing, and we begin to decline. We begin to recline, and we begin to decline. We start laying down on the job instead of persevering, because we have a responsibility as well, instead of just waiting upon the Lord to act according to His Word. And then in verse 50, where it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for Thy Word hath quickened me. Life from His Word becomes lackadaisical in spiritual matters. We're not alive anymore. When we begin forsaking His Word, pretty soon, that which should be life in us becomes death. And you all remember the Lord's admonition, or His rebuke upon the church at Sardis in Romans chapter 3. In fact, I'm going to have you turn there so that we can see it as a sobering reminder to remember God's Word in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, because it's that which once brought us comfort in God's Word and perseverance through afflictions, it brings us only forgetfulness. We don't remember any longer. In verse 1. In verse 1 it says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Here's the complete and mature and the overwhelming power of God expressed in the seven spirits of God. And that, as we know, that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, He will guide you into all truth. He shall reveal things unto us. He will illuminate this blessed Word and sanctify us through it. And there it is, the very presence of the spirits mentioned, the Holy Spirit mentioned in such a grand way, seven spirits of God. Yet, I know your works, Jesus says, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Are people that have the Word of God in their hand, but not in their head and their heart, are people that have a name but are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Verse 3 is a sobering reminder. It uses the word, it's in Greek, but it says remember. They are dead. As we went backwards through the psalm and see that the life would become death apart from the word of God. And here is certainly a group of people that had everything. They named the name of Christ, even as John Bunyan mentions in his great treatise, A Holy Life, the beauty of Christianity. And at the very beginning, he lays out the groundwork for those who are professing the name of Christ but do not depart from iniquity. Why did they not depart from iniquity? Most cases, not all, but most cases are because they're not steadfast in the Word of God and not pleading for the living Word by His grace and by the power of the Spirit to keep us in the written Word that we may go forth as living epistles. Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be watchful, but not just that, Lord. Bring us into remembrance. Bring us into remembrance of all the word of old that we had seen through the pages where your presence has brought revival. And as we've been praying for that, Lord, we pray that our prayers may be those that seek the revelation of Jesus Christ, your very presence, Lord God, in our lives, and that we, through your presence, that we may have immediate answer to the questions we have concerning your word. And in your presence, we may have power to walk according to your word, because in our flesh, all we can do is sin. And yea, in our frailty, Lord, by your grace, we still sin most heinously. But Lord God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that if you are ministering unto us unto further sanctification through your word, we pray, Lord, that you'll be glorified and that we will be a people that desire holiness, not for holiness' sake, but for your sake, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.